Mini episode 332 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You'll want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down NFL Week 9 for you. And again, coming off of last week, it was a very interesting slate, Kyle. I went 6-7 on all of the games, 2-1 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock, 54-61-6 on all the games for the season, 8-16 on my big three for the season, 3-5 on the locks. Hopefully the soothing sounds of television underneath us here will make it a little bit more digestible as we get into it. That was a tough week, I understand, here with the 0-3. And
it was.
Kind of a tough number here, 12-14 for the season. Still respectable and within range of profitability here, but
yeah, that was a bad week. But then again, I deserve what I got when I took Minnesota and Jacksonville.
Well, you had a lot of guts doing that. And again, you being a pro in the biz here, that's the thing. I mean, you do the things that a lot of us won't touch as far as the bad teams.
Look at St. Louis on Monday night. Yeah. I mean, no one wanted them. And they were up 7-0 too, Minnesota. Yeah. They returned the opening kick. You're feeling good, but it's very hard to win a game when the other team doesn't punt.
That's true.
I don't have a stat in front of me, but I don't think any team has ever won when the other team doesn't punt.
Yeah, you got to be able to force that from time to time here. For the Thursday game this week, we don't generally have these up in time. This one, this week, there might actually be a narrow window where we have this up before the game, but it won't be by much. It is Cincinnati at Miami, Bengals laying 2.5 on the road, started at a pick. Talking to you about this one off air as we got a chance to doing the show here together for a nice change here this week. I like Miami. I know that your sense is kind of the same as well in terms of the Bengals might just be a little bit overvalued here at this point. Thursday night, you can always be prone for something fluky to happen. Must-win spot for Miami after starting 3-0. I'm all over my fish getting the 2.5 at home on Thursday night in a must-win spot.
Yeah, and it's a trap spot kind of for Cincinnati in that short week, and then the bye is next week.
Oh, okay.
And then they've got a big division game against Baltimore. I just think that this is such a big game for Miami. Granted, they do not typically play well at home.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm taking them. I'm taking Miami.
Is that
do I want to make it a right? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to at the end of the show, I'll give you. I'll let you know. Because the thing is, I have like a decent like read on most of these games. I'm not sure which ones I want to actually recommend.
If it's a recommended play, we'll have this up on Twitter. We always put up the FDH Lounge plays regardless
of
Twitter.
I recommend a Thursday game, but
yeah.
I kind of really do like the Dolphins more than I think.
Okay.
About it. Yeah.
All right. You'll get back to us on that one then. Okay.
At the end of the show, I'm gonna give out all my recommended ones.
All right. All right. Well, something to look forward to, ladies and gentlemen. Looking at the
doing
slate.
That's what you do after an 0-3 week. You just change the way you're doing it.
Looking at the slate on Sunday, we start with it is Atlanta at Carolina. The Panthers are laying 7.5 in this one. Started at 8. This is just one where again, as far as line being inflated, deflated by how the teams have played thus far this season. Sometimes it's worked out for me, sometimes not, when I've said, imagine what the spot would have been at the beginning of the year between these teams and see if that kind of moves you at all. It didn't work for me last week with Atlanta and Arizona, where that was the only one of my big three to go down. Having said that, again, I'm going to use similar logic here this week with Atlanta. I think they can get inside to 7.5. I don't rule out that they can win outright. I just think Carolina's maybe due to stub their toe. But I think they'll win with Atlanta covering.
Carolina's three-game win streak, covered every game, has come at the expense of Minnesota, St. Louis, and Tampa Bay. What do those three teams have in common?
Suck.
Yeah. This, I mean, you talk about a season on the brink. Atlanta Falcons lose this game as the odds makers are projecting them to. They're 2-6.
Thank you, John Feinstein.
Yes. I'll take the points.
Okay.
Here. And this very well may land into a recommended spot for me. I may just recommend a lot of plays this week.
Okay.
To try to get that record.
Volume. That's how we'll get it up.
Volume, yes. I learned from Wall Street.
Yes.
But it's funny. that here's the only thing. If the point spread comes into play, that means Carolina would do what they never do, and that's win a close game, 2-14 straight up under Rivera in that situation. Games decided by 7 points or less. Do they actually win a close game? If they do, that'd be huge moving forward for them. Atlanta's lost a lot of close games. They've lost by 6, by 4, by 7, by 2. Last week they lost by 14 at Arizona. 4 turnovers hurt.
You and I have joked about this repeatedly now with the Eagles. They're going to win at home at some point. And kind of the same thing, myself and my best friend busting out at the casino. The red-black thing has got to start rotating again at some point. Carolina 2-14 in that spot.
Those numbers,
it has to start going the other way. It has to, Kyle.
And I
That's
could see that.
Historically.
I could see Fluky Carolina number. Winning a close game here.
Absolutely. For that reason, I think we're both on ground there.
By the way, road underdogs off a road loss the last 10 seasons. Blind 62%. In the month of November, 73%.
Wow. Interesting factoid there. And it plays into our perception of the game.
Yeah. I like Atlanta. Like Atlanta.
All right.
That's going to probably get recommended.
You and I have both started with 2 dogs here. I'm going to make it 3 as we look at the next one.
I love
here.
How you've changed this year.
Well, this has not been a banner year for me.
That's
so make
true.
That what
I mean,
will.
Last couple weeks. How about
well,
that?
The last
you
weeks
are
I've
the Rod
hot.
Rivera of handicapping,
yeah.
I believe.
I've been pretty hot the last couple of weeks. No question about it. Next up, Minnesota at Dallas. The Cowboys are laying 10. That had started at 11.5. This is one where I look at it, and again, as awful as Minnesota is, they did at least show against Green Bay the ability to move the ball somewhat, albeit, okay, a garbage time type scenario, but I'm looking at this here, and just the fact that Dallas is laying double digits.
Yeah, you never want to do that.
Yeah. Dallas, unless they're playing Jacksonville, they're not really good enough to lay double digits. They're laying 10 because they're a big public team. Minnesota surely won't win this game. I don't have any of the same hesitation I do with Atlanta where I say, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world if they won. No, it pretty much would be the most shocking thing in the world if Minnesota won because they absolutely blow. But I think they'll stay inside the 10. Give me my third dog in a row. I'll take Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm with you. This won't get recommended. Here's a regret. Minnesota is just 2-5 against the spread. How about them Cowboys at the betting window? 7-1 against the spread. Best record in the league.
Well, and that's with most weeks, if not all weeks, being a significant
they've been a
public
dog.
Team.
Well, they've been a dog, actually, a lot. This is the first time they're laying more than one score all year.
But as a public team, even as a dog, they probably weren't getting their
They were a publicly – see, last week's game against Detroit I was so torn on because I couldn't see Dallas winning 2 in a row on the road and Detroit losing 2 in a row at home.
Yeah.
But all the sharp guys were on Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out both scenarios won. Cowboys cashed, but they lost.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I like the Vikings here.
Yeah.
But that's not going to get recommended.
No, it won't. But we're in accord on those ones here. Next up for us, it's Tennessee at St. Louis. Tennessee laying 3, had opened at 2.5. So Tennessee in the rare kind of spot here of being a road favorite.
Ricky, does he go for it?
Road favorite Ricky is not going to, as I wonderfully break out the third person, not going to make this a recommended play, not one of my big 3, but I do like Tennessee laying 3 points here. It's a short week for St. Louis, maybe a little bit of a letdown playing arguably the best team in the league to almost a dead halt on Monday night. It was such a very close game. There could be the letdown off of
short week off Seattle.
Yeah. It's and I understand that they beat Seattle twice last year, but especially I don't remember if they beat
them
twice.
They split them. They lost
split
the last
them.
Week
yeah.
of the year.
But they had the great divisional record last year. But it's apples and oranges because Sam Bradford is now injured. This has been a disappointing year for the Rams. If ever there was a moral victory, it was what they had on Monday night. And you can get letdowns off of moral victories. I think Tennessee goes in there. They're rested. Tanned, rested, and ready, like my old Nixon 88 T-shirt says, and I think the Titans will cover the 3.
Good Lord, how do I even follow that up? I'll tell you how I follow that up by passing. Okay. Here's the thing. The spot is great for Tennessee, off a bye.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis short week off Seattle. Arizona became the first team last week to cover this year, the week after playing Seattle, but they had the benefit of having played at Seattle on Thursday the week previous. This is a short week. The problem is I'm not laying points on the road with Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah, just not. I mean, they're not. I mean, Locker's back. I could. I mean, I could see this being a field goal game going Tennessee's way. St. Louis is bad. I mean, they
this just in.
Yeah, they are not good, but this is a total pass for me.
All right. Our first game here this week where the spread is Ralph Wiggum's nose, because it's a pick 'em. It's San Diego at Washington, and again, there hasn't really been any fluctuation on either side of the line thus far this week. We talked about this a little bit off air as far as being a little bit puzzled by this line.
I'm nervous by this game.
I want to go San Diego. They're coming off a bye.
I want to go Washington,
but
really bad.
Well, Washington, San Diego's having to travel cross-country. You're one of the people that's beat it into my head about the 1 o'clock starts Eastern time for the Pacific Coast teams. You've made an impact on me. I will take Washington at home. And, again, it's not too late to say it's a must-win spot because the division they're in actually just is horrific. If Washington wins this game, they're not dead yet, even though they deserve to be. In a must-win spot, Washington takes it.
San Diego's played in the Eastern time zone three times this year. Believe it or not, they've lived to tell the story. They're 2-1 straight up, 2-0-1 against the number.
Yeah.
So they've kind of bucked what I'm saying. Here's what scares me about Washington. The NFC East has been clobbered by the AFC West all year. Washington's actually got the only win against the AFC West against Oakland.
Yeah. Are they going to be the team to stand up for the honor of the NFC East? That is unlikely.
God, do I want to pick Washington. I don't think I'm going to recommend it, though.
Okay.
But I just think that they – I know the score said 45-21 at the end against Denver.
Yeah.
It seemed close. I mean, Denver, look, as a man who had the under in that game,
yeah,
and it was 7-0 with a minute to go in the first half, and I'm patting myself on the back.
You were feeling it.
Yeah, I was feeling it too, by the way, when I was getting drunk by the end of the game. I was so upset.
Well,
You
were feeling a large pain in your posterior.
Yes, I'll, by the way, I don't plug things. No one pays me to do that. I plug things because I like them.
Yeah.
Give me this spooky tooth. My fat heads. You had this beer?
I have 9%. Not.
9%. You'll be.
Really?
Oh, God. It's closer to 10, too, with the rounding.
Well, give me
spooky tooth by fat heads. I had two of these the other night. Freaking kidding me? Talk about spooky tooth. I mean, I didn't know where the hell I was.
Spooky tooth reminds me of my last trip to the dentist. But, given that my Court Street tolerance is a relic of my youth. I think probably one of those would put me on my ass. But,
You know. But San Diego, you know, it's funny. They haven't really – the only bad game they've played all year was at Oakland, that bizarre 11:30 Eastern time start.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the later start time got them, not the earlier. I really wish I could give out Washington. I just don't have the strength. But I'll give a slight lean to Washington
slight
here.
Slight lean, okay. Next up, in a battle of teams from the same two divisions – so another East Coast, West Coast battle here. It is Philadelphia at Oakland. You and I talked about this off air, that the spread on this one, depending on where you look, 1 in some places, -2.5
in some places.
Off the books
in some places.
Because
we don't know the Eagles quarterback situation.
Exactly. But
except that it's going to be bad.
that is the certainty. That is the one certainty that we have, and yet they're laying either a point or 2.5 going out to the West Coast against a Raider team that has exceeded expectations thus far this season. And again, this is pretty much another one of my, it's not a recommended pick, it's not one of my big three, but this is one of my Why Ask Why specials from during the year. I don't understand why the Eagles, with their quarterbacking situation as bad as it is right now, are the favorites. I'm not even going to ask why. I'm going to assume that the Sharps know better than I do. And again, they've been an inexplicably good road team this year. As bad as they've been at home, they've been a very good road team. I'm trying to think what year it was. There was a Browns team that was like that. It was one of the years that they were, I think, at least respectable, and they won like a bunch on the road and just absolutely sucked at home. This Eagle team kind of similar in some of the same ways. Yeah, and just for because I like to challenge myself, I'll lay the 2.5. I'll lay the bigger number here just to be a competitive kind of a guy. I'll say Philadelphia to cover it, largely because I don't understand why they're laying any points, why it's not at least a pick 'em. And if you don't understand, always go against your instincts. The Sharps know better than you do.
Listen to this. Road favorites, by the way. Here's a trend you'll like.
Yeah.
Road favorites in the month of November the last 10 years have covered 64% of the time. Well, there you go.
There you go, Kyle. See?
Yeah, well, okay.
Maybe I'll bring you around on road
favorites.
Yeah,
really? Okay.
Road favorites are the sharp way to go,
yes,
Kyle.
Yes, apparently in November only,
I'm
though.
I'm blowing your mind.
I'm not playing this game. I kind of like the over, though.
Okay.
Do you know why? Talk about not making any sense. The Eagles have scored 10 points the last two games, right?
Okay.
And the only touchdown was from the special teams.
Okay.
Oakland's gone under in all but one game. Of course you go over here, right? You know, I mean, to me, I'm kind of leaning towards the over.
Okay.
I don't know what, you know. I again, NFC East versus AFC West, by the way. So yeah. I have no inkling to get involved in this side, but the over might be worth a look here.
Well, we're coming up on another one. I know you're not going to want to touch with a 10-foot pole here. It is the battle of the 1976 expansion teams in the NFL here. Tampa Bay at Seattle. The Seahawks are laying 16.5. It was down from 18.5 at the open in this spot here. We talked about the St. Louis game on Monday night, coming off of that, and how it felt like a win for the Rams. Not just because they covered. Quite frankly, maybe a lot of the Rams bet on themselves, so it was. I'm just speculating recklessly. But it also, by the same token, felt like a loss for Seattle. I mean, Richard Sherman had to go out there and defend on why it shouldn't be taken as
it
a
was.
Loss.
Yes.
So that's a game. Rarely do you have a game where you come out of it with a win, but you're out for blood the next week. But Seattle's just one of those weird kind of teams.
And they're at home.
They're at home.
First time in a while.
They will boat race. They will sodomize Tampa Bay. This will get ugly. And, oh, by the second quarter. So, yeah, I don't have any hesitation on this. I'm not going to make it one of my recommended three plays, but Seattle minus the 16.5.
You know me.
Like them a lot.
You know me. There's only one way if you're going to play the side here.
And you're not going to take that side. There can't be any way.
If you're going to play this game, I think you got to take Tampa Bay. The only problem is I think Greg Schiano's lost the locker room, and
he has.
I don't like betting on teams where the players don't like the coach.
What about the combination of the team having quit on him and the atmosphere of Seattle? That's not good either.
I mean, Mike Glennon after the game Thursday said, I still haven't tasted my first NFL victory. I don't think it's going to happen here. It was so funny because, Tampa Bay was so down on the I thought Schiano might get fired. Friday.
Mike Glennon, at this rate, will taste his first XFL victory before he tastes his first NFL
victory.
Yeah,
they got Miami. And God, everyone's talking about, does Jacksonville go 0-16?
Yeah.
Does Tampa Bay?
Very possible.
I don't see a lot of wins on this schedule. They're going to play Miami. Who's going to be? It's a Monday night game. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, nice to see the people who love to screw over ESPN are doing it again. But Miami's going to have a long break after Thursday. Then Atlanta will be – their record is bound to improve.
Honestly, with the exception of December 8th home game against Buffalo, Tampa Bay may not win a game.
They may not.
I mean,
as far as
they still have to play. They still have to play at Detroit, at Carolina, San Francisco, at New Orleans.
I would say couldn't happen to a nicer guy, but Greg Schiano is going to be ghost well before we get to that part. And
Tampa Bay covers here.
You think so?
I'm not going to recommend it because I've learned my lesson. But I think Tampa Bay is going to cover here.
Okay. Wow.
Remember that. I should start giving up plays on all games. Like, see how it works. Let me know how these games that I say this week. We'll square up at the end here.
I'm keeping track. I write down a K for everyone that you indicated you like. I circle the K for your recommended one.
I see.
I have it going
circle
back to week one.
Yeah, okay,
circle
that's my new nickname
circle
on the
K
show.
Kyle Ross.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm road favorite Ricky. Thank you very much. Speaking of which, transition. Next game here. Baltimore laying 2.5 at Cleveland. I'll take the Ravens. They were laying 3 at the outset. I grappled with this one for one of my big three. I will say on air what I told you off air. This was my hardest week. I'm making an excuse ahead of time. This was my hardest week for finding three games I like. This was one that I was borderline on, and I wavered away from it at the end, largely because, again, the Browns, if they can keep Jason Campbell healthy and upright, we saw last week with Kansas City that they can be respectable under the circumstances with a game manager in there. And, yeah, I just think it's going to be a close game. Baltimore now weighing less than a field goal, and I think that's instrumental. They may win this one by a field goal. It may be between 3 and 7 points, but now they're only laying 2.5. Because of the increased respect the Browns have gotten with, again, a mediocre game
manager.
That's
interesting.
Jason
Campbell. That line would draw, huh?
Yeah.
When was the last time Cleveland beat Baltimore, Rick Morris? I have the answer in front of me, just so you know.
Okay. It wasn't too long ago. It was it 2011?
No.
I think Colt McCoy beat him one of those times, didn't he?
Nope.
Oh, this is a long streak? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
07. All right, 07
they
was
have
a big year.
Baltimore has beaten Cleveland 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 11 straight times, including week 2.
I didn't realize it was that long. Okay, because that's...
You know me.
Yeah.
Part of me kind of likes Cleveland in this spot. I know, because here's the thing.
I know Facebook GM is loving your take right now.
Here's the thing. What $50 better doesn't take... What $50 better wouldn't take Baltimore here?
That's true.
You know, I mean, this is like everyone's, Baltimore's on a bye. They're only 3-4. They got to get back on the mat. would not be surprised to see your Cleveland Browns pull the upset.
And then it'd be your second place, Cleveland Browns.
Facebook GM. Well, so you're gonna flash us a little Cleveland love. There.
Oh!
We're going for the inside joke on that one, ladies
I love
and
it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I love it.
You like Cleveland, huh? Okay.
I do.
All right. All right. Under the circumstances, we move on to the next one here. And a rival of both of the teams we just mentioned, the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road at New England. The Patriots are laying 7. It had been 7.5 initially. Historically, Bill Belichick has stamped the word pwned on the forehead of the Pittsburgh Steelers, particularly in the playoffs. And I just get a weird feeling in looking at this in terms of the value of both teams right now. As much as, again...
It's not good.
Well, here's the thing. Pittsburgh is as bad as their record. New England's not as good as their record.
Correct.
And
that's very sound analysis.
Thank you. Thank you. This is similar to the Minnesota-Dallas thing, where I would be shocked if Pittsburgh won this game, given what they've showed thus far this year. And yet, I think they're going to cover it. I'll take the Squealers inside of the 7 points.
I kind of do, too.
Yeah.
Because New England is just, how do you say, not good?
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't say that. That's wrong. They're not great.
They're the worst 6-2 team in NFL history, bar none.
Okay, that's interesting. I don't have the list of 6-2 teams in front of me in NFL history. But
I'm just talking out my ass as usual.
Yeah, I don't see them losing, but I don't see them winning by more than 7. Have they? Well, they beat Miami by 10 last week. That was only their second win by more than one score all year.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Pittsburgh keeping this one close.
That's
but
what
losing.
I'm looking for. Yeah,
New England's traditionally pretty good off a loss. So
what's your sense? Is this a soft type?
A
one?
Soft lean on Pittsburgh.
Soft lean on Pittsburgh. Okay.
I think I've gotten my recommendations all
right.
Squared away here. I'll bust them out at the end. But I think I know what
okay.
I'm going to do here.
Skipping the Sunday nighter, because that's the last of my three that we still have to hit, my big three. Going to Monday night, it is one of the league's most historic rivalries. Fans of both teams will tell you the most historic rivalry. It's the Bears at the Packers, and Green Bay is laying 10.5, down from 11 at the open. In looking at this one, this is one of these things where, well, I'd be much more inclined to go on Chicago if they had Jay Cutler. Then again, if they had Jay Cutler, we're probably looking at, what, -6, -7, maybe not even that, right? The difference in quarterback accounts for the inflation in the line.
It would be...
What do you think
it would
be?
It would be like 7.
You think
7.5. And a half.
Okay. And yet, even that, though, I understand that the arrows for these teams are pointing different ways.
They are.
Green Bay off a moderately difficult start. Has gotten it going well in recent
weeks.
They
had a tough schedule early.
They did.
Who are their losses to? San Francisco and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And they should probably have won the Cincinnati game.
Yeah, exactly. And they were very close. So they were hanging in there for a good part of the San Francisco one as well.
Yeah.
At Candlestick, which is a good thing. If you can lose respectably there, it's certainly not a black mark. Chicago heading in the other direction after a very good start. So I just feel like if the line would have been 7 or 7.5 with Cutler in there, I'm going to say the same thing. I still think there's too much of a gap in perception between these teams here. Green Bay's defense is better than it was last year, but that means it's better than poop. So, I mean, we're maybe being a little bit more.
Chicago's defense is poop.
Chicago's defense is poop. I'll grant you that. I think Chicago is going to get inside that number. I think Green Bay is going to win. I mean, it's funny how I keep hedging myself on the favorites here.
I know, and that doesn't happen that often where the point spread comes into play. It only comes into play a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, I've said that at least 4 or 5 times this week. I think this is another one here. I think that the Bears are not going to win this game, but I do like them to get inside the 10.5 on Monday night. I think they can keep it competitive.
I agree with you.
Okay.
Grant, I if you do like the Bears, do you know what you should do?
Mm-hmm.
Wait till Monday to bet the game, because
okay.
It'll be bet up. It'll be bet up like Seattle was. Monday, the favorite on Monday night always gets bet up the day of.
Okay.
So I would wait to bet till Monday. Green Bay is a very good home team. I'm not going to deny that. There's not a lot of awesome trends supporting Chicago, namely the fact they've been swept the last 2 years by the Packers, 0-4, and both straight up and against the spread.
Okay.
Well, but I just think they find a way to keep it close.
Is that a soft lean for the
I can't with a backup quarterback. No, I'm not going to give it a hard.
But stay tuned. I have another opinion on this game.
Okay. All right. Well, we get to now my big three plays before we move into the final wrap, where this week we actually get to find out your plays all at once as you were determining them more or less.
On the fly. That's real professional, isn't it?
It's funny how on the all too rare occasions that we get to do this in person, that the curtain gets lifted on a lot of this stuff in a way that it doesn't when we're on the phone.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about that.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, let's backpedal here to we'll start with Sunday night. This is the first of my three. Indianapolis is at Houston. The game started as a pick. The Colts, in light of how they've been doing recently, also as a result of people reflecting more on Houston's sad situation. Case Keenum will be a quarterback for them Sunday night. The Colts have been bet up to 2.5. Both teams, interestingly, coming off a bye heading into this game. This is an absolute must-win for the Texans. If they win, I feel like we cannot completely eliminate them from the wild card and maybe even the divisional conversation in the AFC. Although I think both are unlikely. Division is way more unlikely than taking a wild card. But this is it. And this is a Houston team.
They did beat San Diego. That one could come in handy.
Yeah, and I've said this about Houston.
Beat Tennessee. That one could come in handy.
I've said this about them a few times this year.
They haven't won since.
And they've pretty much let me down just about every time I've said this, and yet I'm making them one of my recommended three picks here, getting the 2.5 points at home on Sunday night. What I've said is, if they were the team I thought they were, they've unfortunately established that they're not. But they
didn't think Case Keenum would be their quarterback for this game.
No, exactly. With a more or less healthy Matt Schaub able to go there for the Texans. So it's a conscious choice to put Case Keenum in there. But there's enough of Houston, particularly on defense. When you look at their running game, when you look at Andre Johnson, they're close enough to the team, at least on paper, that I thought they were at the start of the year. If there's any of that team that I thought they were that still lives, they have to win this game. And I think they will. I certainly like them getting the 2.5 on Sunday night.
Book it. We agree. This is going to be the first of my recommended plays this week, a number that is still being determined as we speak.
Okay.
I like the Houston Texans. Indianapolis, yes, they've beaten Seattle. Yes, they've beaten San Francisco. Yes, they've beaten Denver. They lost to San Diego, though. They lost to Miami, barely beat Oakland. This is still a high-variance team. I don't feel comfortable with laying points in the road. I'm not as sold on them as you. Houston, this is a season-defining game for them, which I think is going to be the theme for a lot of the plays I recommend this week. Love that I'm getting points now to play with. Give me the Texans plus 2.5.
Okay, so we actually agree on that one as a recommended play. We move on to the next one here. It is Kansas City at Buffalo, and the Chiefs are laying 3 points down from 3.5 at the open.
Hate that move, damn Chiefs.
I really, again, we laugh about this a lot on the show as far as my general preference for favorites for recommended plays, particularly for, in many cases, road favorites. More about that later. Mm-hmm. This might be the first time all year I've taken two dogs among my recommended three plays, but I like Buffalo getting the 3 points here. Yeah, I like them a lot better if it was still 3.5, clearly, but it's a thing, again, I know I've done this before with teams, and I've done this before this season even with Kansas City. I remember one of my recommended plays, and people are going to laugh now, but I had the Giants to beat them because it was like, okay, all right, enough Kansas City, it's time. I just kind of have that feeling here. You're going into a Buffalo place that's sort of like poor man's Arrowhead as far as being a tough place to play with the geeked up home fans.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills have played surprisingly well in many games this season. And this Kansas City team feels like, and this is where the Chief fans are just going to hate me for this, it doesn't feel like their first loss is going to come in an epic, bloody game against like Denver that they'll be playing on NFL films
pointing,
in 20
that's
years.
That's what everyone's pointing
everyone
to.
It doesn't have to be Denver, Kyle Ross, but I mean, everyone
well,
thinks...
Well, they're coming up. I believe Kansas City's got a bye after this game, and then they're at Denver.
All right, what's like another tough game or two in there? Let's say they beat Denver. Well, what are some of the other tough games they got coming up?
They play Denver again at home.
Okay.
Other than they play Indy at home.
Indy, okay. All right,
this team's not going to lose many
but
games.
But that's kind of what I'm saying, though, right? Everybody thinks that that's going to be their first loss just because they're 8-0. I say no, because they're not. I don't regard them as I would, say, Seattle if they were 8-0. San Francisco if they were 8-0. I'm sorry, Denver if they were 8-0. I just don't regard them on the same level.
No.
They can have their first loss in a non-heroic game on the road, and I think they will. I like the Bills with the 3, and they'll win outright.
Just to show people how little regard Vegas has sometimes for records, if Kansas City played Denver,
yeah,
Denver is going to be like an 8.5, 9-point favorite in that game.
The funny thing is, would Kansas City sports talk callers be as butthurt if Cleveland sports talk callers would be if it happened to them? Well, our team's undefeated. Vegas just doesn't respect us.
Yeah, boy. I'll tell you what I respect is your pick on this game.
Okay.
It is a recommended pick of mine as well.
Really?
I'm taking Buffalo as the home dog. Kansas City has just overachieved. They just won 3 home games against Oakland, Houston, and Cleveland where they did not look good in any of them.
Absolutely. They did. They should have put away the Browns decisively the way that game started.
Buffalo was able to somewhat hang with New Orleans despite a -3 differential in turnovers.
Yeah.
By the way, something's got to give here. Kansas City has held every opponent to 17 points or less this year. Ironically, they've held a team to 16 or 17 5 times. Had scored over 20 every game before last week. I think Buffalo.
I was going to say, this feels like a game where Kansas City's not going to. That streak of holding teams under 17, I feel like, is you're making me feel even better here.
Yeah, I like Buffalo. Like Buffalo. I give them a strong chance pulling the. I hate that the 3.5 is gone, though.
Yeah.
Can I wait till that's back up?
That makes it tougher.
Can I get a line of 3.5? Can we come back next week, and if they lose by 3, I'm going to claim, oh, I saw 3.5 with my guy. My guy, Sal.
I think you did that on the game earlier this season.
I did not. I did not. You made up a line.
I didn't make up a line.
Are you kidding me? Where was New England -3 against New Orleans?
I love that you know the game I'm talking about.
Oh, I remember everything. I remember, yeah.
I don't know.
There must have been some shoddy.
Mythbusters is going to have a real thing here about what kills memories, but you know. But anyways,
being a Republican,
I had 3 written down. I don't know what to tell you, but all right. So we actually agree on both of my big 3.
I knew what to tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I agree on 2. Wow,
you ain't agreeing with this one because this is going to go against one of your cardinal rules for my 1,000-star gold plated lock of the millennium.
Team, haven't we talked
for NFL Week 9? Game that we have yet to talk about is the battle of the Saints at the Jets.
Yeah, I know where you're going here.
Saints are laying 5.5, had opened at 4, and again.
Oh, you're betting a publicly backed road favorite?
Yeah.
This is a horrible pick. I like you're going 2-1 with your recommended plays this weekend. It's going to be
I'm gonna lose the lock. Huh? Well, I am.
You went against the Jets last week, and it was a fine play.
That was my lock last week, yes. I am actually 3-0 in my last 3 lock picks. I'm 3-5 on the season, so you can do the math on what happened before the last 3 weeks. But the Saints in this spot, again, I just think the Jets are in that funk at this point of the season here. And I'll grant you, I've been kind of waiting for them to get exposed. They surprised me with what they did against the Patriots a few weeks back here. But again, this is a thing where, and I believe I went against them also the week that they lost to Pittsburgh. I think I made that one of my recommended plays that week when Pittsburgh hadn't even won any games yet. So
you hate the Jets, don't you?
Well, I choose to say that my instinct on when to pick against the Jets has been right this season. And I have to say, that kind of sonar is something I'm going to listen to because enough other teams have been very, very, very hard for me to get a handle on at this point in time. Take it to the bank, ladies and gentlemen. Never mind the 5.5. Your New Orleans Saints are going to roll on the New York Jets at the Meadowlands come this Sunday.
I hate that pick. But I don't want to back the Jets either. I don't want to back the Jets either.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, no,
Ross.
I'm not backing that Jets.
If you think I'm that wrong.
Well, they've alternated wins and losses all year. So history says that they beat New England as a home dog. And I like how that
I wish I could get a red black that dependable at the roulette table.
If this number continues to get steamed up, the Jets might be worth a look.
Really?
Yeah. If that number gets steamed up.
Well, I mean, if it gets to 7.5, I might agree. But what are the odds? It's 5.5 at this point, Kyle. I don't think it's.
It could get to 6.
I think it could get to 6, but it's not even. I don't think it's even getting to a touchdown. So, I mean, again, you know, barring any kind of, you know, odd announcements here at this point, which, by the way, the latest incarnation, this has actually gone under the radar, but the latest incarnation of the league's very, very stupid way of celebrating this, it's another Ryan Bowl, Kyle Ross, with Rob and Rex here.
Why don't you like that stuff? It's interesting.
I don't. Well, because they're both buffoons. Although, I have to admit, Rex Ryan, at least this year, has proven me wrong as far as his ability to kind of coach up a rebuild on the fly with the Jets defense here.
What about Rob Ryan and what he's done with the Saints? Why don't you say something nice about Rob Ryan?
They've had a better year than I would expect out of that defense, I'll grant you, because the guy's been a horrible and overrated defensive coordinator over the last several years, which shows me that a regression to the mean is coming, although it won't start this week.
Oh, I was going to say, Ryan this week, don't you?
Yeah, you're not going to get me to contradict myself there. It won't be coming at the hands of Geno Smith, but it's coming after that.
All right. I don't like that game.
Screw
that game.
All right, so my three are Houston and Buffalo and New Orleans, with that one being the lock. You, Kyle, have a number of soft picks out there.
I'm cementing the recommendations. Here we
go.
Okay, we've already given Houston's a recommendation. Buffalo's a recommendation.
Okay.
So I agree with two.
All right, you agree with two of my three. Wow.
Miami's a recommendation.
Okay.
For Thursday.
Okay.
Throw that up on the old Twitter account.
I will. I'm going to tweet that.
Atlanta's a recommendation.
Okay.
And we're going exotic here for a fifth recommendation this week. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty.
Okay.
That Mendoza line. Under in the Monday night game.
Wow, okay.
Under, I believe it's 50. It could be 50 and a half.
Okay.
Let's take a look right here where this is at right
now.
Let's take a look here.
We'll call it what it is right now. What is it right now?
49 and a half. Or wait, hold on 1 second. Wait, let me see here. By the way, can I get that 9 at 5 dimes on Atlanta or no? Where's that cheating? Five dimes always like will jack up the line to try to discourage teasers, the 7-point teasers. That's what they're trying to do there. And
you can have them, but we don't want you to play them.
Can't have the 9 at 5
How
dimes.
How sportsbook of them.
Yes. Yeah, I can't have the 9 with 5 dimes. Oh, well, I can get 9.5 at Pinnacle with Atlanta. The total for the Monday night game currently is 67.5. No, I'm kidding. it is.
What do you think? This is whack football here?
Yeah,
come on, man.
Okay. 50.
50, okay.
Under 50 on that one.
Under
50.
All right. A Kyle Ross recommended play, under 50.
Yeah, I think I gave out an under last year, a total last year, and it won. So
okay.
You know, I'm not afraid to just gerrymander the
all
rules.
All right. So
much like John Kasich.
I'm not a Kasich fan, so there you go. Under on Monday night, plus you'll like Houston, plus you'll like Buffalo, plus you'll like Atlanta, plus you'll like Miami.
Yes.
A lot of dogs here.
You know, that's my style.
That kind of is.
Yes.
That kind of is. You're
9.5 at Pinnacle on Atlanta.
Yeah.
Hopefully Pinnacle gets some business off this.
How could they not?
Yes.
Well, again, you're due for a turnaround. Nobody was more due than me,
I know.
Kyle.
That's why I like that.
I started off 0-12 on my big three.
Yeah.
Actually, I was only 0-12. That's right, because I'm 8-16
only
now.
Only 0-12, yeah.
Well, I was wondering, was it 0-15? But no, yeah. Although I have been 8-4 since going 0-12.
I know, and I think you're going to
find
I like two of those
theory.
Three. I think you're
okay.
going 2-1 this week.
All right,
yeah.
Well, we shall see.
I hope I go 5-0.
You have reached your trough right now, just as I
after
had a couple weeks
0-3,
ago.
Yeah.
This is when people want to jump on
yes,
Kyle Ross.
And I threw five picks out for him, too, just to.
Yeah, exactly. How often? Think of how fortunate people are. How often do you get a chance to catch this guy when he's at 12-14? Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand the kind of bounce back that is coming here?
5-0. We're going 5-0 this week.
5-0. It could very well happen. I'd say 6-0 if you were joining me also on New Orleans, but you're not.
Stop it. Who wants to play New Orleans?
What were the odds that was
going to happen? A publicly backed road favorite.
Yeah. You have called that an absolutely horrific pick on my part.
They'll probably win by 800.
Yeah. That I know. We're going to be talking about that one and much, much more when we reconvene next week. Thank you so much, Kyle Ross.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Timeout.
Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.